Good morning and welcome to Inside the Huddle. Sam Wirt alongside Cindy Loveless today.
Hey, you guys, give me a little taste of football last week and there you go. Now I'm hooked.
Exactly.
No, not really. Unfortunately, Kyle was very much under the weather today, so we hope he gets to feeling better. I mean, I get it. I've been hearing that the tummy bug has been going around, and since he's a teacher, I'm sure that he's probably unhappy that he got it, but probably happy that he got it on a weekend so that he can go back to school on Monday. Hopefully, he'll feel good enough to do that. But unfortunately, he is under the weather today.
Yeah, get some rest, Kyle. We've got a fun show today. It'll be fun with you, Cindy. You guys got to do Inside the Huddle a couple of weeks ago, and now you keep coming back.
I know. We're gluttons for punishment.
Well, let's get right into it. We have Thomas Lynch from Rossville Wrestling on the line. And Thomas, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys this morning?
We are doing well. Well, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Thomas, or Noah Weaver last year, 50-0, the state champion for Rossville Wrestling. Talk a little bit about that experience for your guys' team and for Noah.
Oh, I mean, it was just an incredible experience all around. You know, we knew what Noah was capable of. He's been knocking on the door for a couple of years, and it really just shows that hard work and perseverance pays off. I mean, he worked his tail off last off season and really put himself in position to make a deep run, and he just kept improving and improving, and we were seeing it as coaches wrestling with him every day that, man, this guy's going to be extremely hard to beat. And he just you know, had a lot of support in the community, a lot of support with his teammates and coaches, and we just attacked it together, and he ended up getting it done, and he only ended up giving up one takedown all year, which was in the championship match. So, you know, it was pretty magical.
Wow, that is impressive. To go undefeated, that takes kind of a different mindset. Talk about that a little bit and how you guys worked with Noah throughout the year and coaching him, because some points, then you start to worry a little bit about that undefeated season. Was there ever a point, obviously before the tournament, we were like, maybe if he just drops one, and then we're not worrying about the perfect record, and we can focus on how he can perform in state. But just talk about that part of the process.
You know, it's kind of funny. A lot of people talk about, you know, winning and putting a lot of pressure on themselves and records and stuff like that. And when I talk about that takedown that he gave up, we didn't know that. We didn't know that he hadn't given up a takedown, because we don't really look at stats. We don't really look at records. We're more, we talk about, like, you know, don't worry about winning and losing. It's more, you know, trust in the process of what you're doing. And we receive a lot of feedback throughout the year in competition and in practice. And, you know, to really improve, you've got to accept that feedback and be very disciplined in what you're trying to accomplish. So really being more process oriented and less result oriented. That's not just Noah. That's our whole entire team. And I think that when you focus on doing things the right way, winning is a byproduct of doing things the right way. So that's what we really try to focus on more so than records or statistics.
Well, you mentioned the kind of the whole team. That's kind of the whole team's mindset. Talk about the team as a whole last season, because it was obviously a successful year for Noah, but you guys had a lot of great wrestlers a season ago. So talk about the team as a whole and some guys that stuck out from last year.
Yeah, so we had, you know, just to kind of start, we had no seniors last year for the second season in a row, so we were a little bit younger. And we kind of progressed as it went. Took some lumps early, had some injuries early, but you know, they kept staying the course, you know, really trusting that process. And we ended up winning conference as a team, which had never been done. We had won it. We had tied before. Actually, my senior year in high school, 20 years prior, we had tied for a conference championship. But last year, we outright won it. So, you know, as a team, huge steps. But you look at, I think we had three guys go to semi-state. That's a really tough sectional for us with a lot of big 5A schools. Our county typically struggles to get kids out. So to get three to semi-state was a good step. And honestly, I think that we kind of underperformed a little bit there guys that we probably should have had five or six down there, but it's tough. And the big thing is those guys that maybe should have been down there with the other three really had a big off season working hard. We had, if we have 14 starters, we had probably 8 to 10 traveling 2 to 3 days a week down to Indianapolis to train, with the best in the state. So, that's what it takes to get better. But, you know, if you look at, if you circle back and you look at improvement, it wasn't just the guys that won at the top that won us that conference. We had, I think, 3 or 4 guys get third, which really is how you win those tournaments. So, you know, just trusting the process and growing, I think, is really paying off.
So talk about some of the guys coming into to this year, because when you tell me you didn't have any seniors for 2 years in a row, that tells me you're probably going to be a little bit senior heavy for the next couple of years. So talk about the team coming into this season, and how many kids you have coming out, and with so much success, that has to tell me you're probably getting some new kids out. People want to join the wrestling team after so much success because they want to be a part of a program like that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think you saw our middle school also won conference for the first time, so I think that kind of speaks to the success at the high school level. You know, started drawing numbers at the middle school level. And, you know, I think they had over 30 kids last year. So you see the lower level starting to grow. We do a lot with our little kids club. And you're seeing numbers grow there. But at the high school level last year, I think we were at 17 kids on our team. And this year we're 32 to start. So, you're seeing, you know, just people want to be part of something that's doing well. And, you know, you're starting to see the numbers go up. As far as seniors, you talked a little bit about being senior heavy. We are, so 3 of our seniors have been 3-year team captains because when they were sophomores, there was no upperclassmen above them. So not only are those seniors, you know, more experienced, but they're also more experienced in leadership because they've had to lead teams for now 3 seasons. So we're really looking forward to that, you know, having good leadership with all the newer freshmen coming in. When you go from 17 kids to 32, a lot of those are going to be freshmen and sophomores. So they'll have some really good role models above them. I was looking through our statistics, which looks like we're going to have 5 wrestlers that should hit the 100 win club for us, and I think total we only have 5 as a school. That includes Noah Weaver, who did it last year as a junior. So we're going to double the number of 100 win wrestlers in our program this year, most likely, barring injuries.
Again, Thomas Lynch, Rossville wrestling coach, is our guest today, and I'm curious, you talk about all these young kids that you have now, several freshmen. What's your coaching philosophy when it comes to kind of developing those wrestlers? You mentioned going down to Indianapolis, and so what are some of the other things you're doing to kind of develop those kids as they come on board?
Yeah, great question, because we, and I know other programs probably struggle with this, but it's kind of new for us, though. We've really had to meet with the coaches and really talk about, you know, almost daily, is this working, what we're trying to implement? So you got, you know, like I said, 500 win wrestlers, they're going to need a certain level of technique taught to them to improve. You know, Noah's ranked 5th in the country right now overall, so we got to keep him improving. And he's got a big tournament in Ohio beginning of December that he got invited to, and he'll have all the top kids in the country in his weight class, all the kids that are committed to all the Iowas and all the big schools. He'll be competing against them. So you got to get the top ready there, but also you have freshmen coming in that are very inexperienced. So really what we've done is we brought a coach in from Purdue, Max Lyon, and Max is very, very good at keeping it basic and being able to show the high-level kid. He just went through, you know, 4 Big Ten seasons. He's a 2-time national champion from Iowa. He's not able to be in every day due to his work schedule, but he's very good at showing even the high-level kids, like, if your basics are really solid, you're going to win a lot of matches. So being able to, for him to be able to teach positioning and basics to the top, and then us being able to filter in, you know, and help those kids that are less experienced. We're hoping it pays dividends. So it is a balance, though. You know, like we have a small room. We're limited in space. We've got to maybe split some practices up so people don't get hurt crashing into each other when you have 32 kids in a small room. That's a worry. So we've talked about splitting, you know, the lesser experienced kids over to the mat and being able to really hammer home the things that we're trying to work, and then also being able to teach that top at times too.
Talk a little bit about how weight classes work in wrestling, because I know some of our listeners don't really pay attention to wrestling or didn't grow up doing wrestling. So talk about weight classes a little bit, how that works, and how for kids that are just coming to do wrestling for the first time, how they can kind of figure that out and figure out what's the best weight class to wrestle in for them.
Yeah, so that's a tough one, especially for parents, because historically, if you look at wrestling, and I'm sure the listeners can, if they're not familiar with wrestling, they would think of, you know, everybody cutting weight and starving themselves, and it's kind of the negative connotations of what it used to be, and that's not our philosophy. We really try, we say it all the time, like get bigger, stronger, faster, right? Part of the, no one wants to join a sport and run and just sweat and not eat. That's not fun. And you got to love what you're doing, no matter what you're doing out there. So to get these guys to love what they're doing, we're trying to get your body bigger, stronger, faster, and get better at wrestling. That's our number one, you know. So if you're looking at how you're building a team, that's how we're trying to build it. However, we have, you know, weight classes that we have to fill. So if there's two kids that 150 pounds and they have to get down to the 144-pound weight class, you're going to have to get a lot more disciplined in your diet, and we don't want to miss meals. So your body's got to be hydrated. You got to be ready to go when it comes to competition, but you got to drop 6 pounds. So how do you do that? You know, you got to get good cardio in. You got to be very disciplined in your diet and not starve yourself. Make sure you're drinking plenty of water. So we talk a lot about nutrition, sleep. Sleep is the one that we're starting to get into, and there's a lot of studies out there that show performance and sleep have a direct correlation. Lack of sleep is almost certainly going to cause you to perform worse. So, you know, just trying to do things the right way, trying to get that diet intact, and rather than eating your sugars and your salty snacks and you know, your sugary drinks, try to replace it with water and a balanced diet where you're going to get your proteins and all of that stuff. So really trying to get away from that old school, you got to starve yourself and get in sweatsuits and really try to give them healthy options that will, you know, hopefully when they're done with wrestling, they'll be able to, you know, take those lessons with them as well.
That's awesome. I love those philosophies. Well, we only got a couple more minutes, so I wanted to kind of wrap up by talking about this season. What does the schedule look like for this season, and how can fans kind of stay involved and keep track of you guys?
So to stay on track with this, we have a really good social media presence on Facebook and Instagram. We usually post updates of when we are going to be competing. I think opening weekend is the 23rd, I want to say, November, so 2 weekends away. That will be at home. Man, we're bringing in some historical powerhouses to that tournament. We've gotten better, and the state's recognizing that we're getting better, and some of these teams are coming in that are really good. We got Greenfield Central coming in, which is a 3A school, and they were ranked number 5 last year in the state. They were at the state tournament at 3A, so they're, you know, a solid team. We feel like we got a shot against them if, you know, we can get everybody into the weight classes and healthy. And then to finish that day off, I don't know if I said it, but that tournament's at home. We're bringing in Portage. So Portage is a historical powerhouse, multi-time state champions from that school. They're up in the region. So we're going to finish that day off with Portage, a big match that we also think that we got a good shot in. And then we're doing an alumni dinner after that. So all the alumni, Rossville Wrestling alumni, are going to come in. We're going to present our state championship ring to Noah and to the coaches, and then just kind of catch up with our alumni and get them connected back to our program, you know, and kind of reach out and keep that going. But other than that, if anyone wants to keep up with schedule, yeah, just follow us on Facebook and Instagram, Rossville Wrestling.
Well, we want to thank you for spending 15 minutes of your morning with us talking about Rossville Wrestling. Folks, this has been Thomas Lynch with Rossville Wrestling. Again, you can follow them on Facebook and keep up with them this season. But thanks for calling in, Coach.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Hey, have a great season.
We'll be right back with quarter number two here on Inside the Huddle.
Jim here from Winsky Brothers with the top reasons you should be using our services.
Energy savings.
That's right. There's a 95% savings from recycling aluminum versus mining and a 60% savings recycling steel.
Hauling and waste removal.
Winsky's offers industrial hauling and waste removal and provides roll-off service.
Customer service.
At Winsky Brothers, our customer service is outstanding. We'll have you on your way in no time.
More money in your pocket.
Every dollar counts these days, so come see us at Winsky Brothers, 751 West Washington Street in Frankfurt. Check us out at WinskyBrothers.com or on Facebook.
This Veterans Day, Wylo and Boone's Best 102.7 invite you to tune in at 9 a.m. for a special presentation by J.T. Doan. Together, we'll honor the courage, sacrifice, and service of our veterans, those who fought to protect our freedoms and uphold our values. We'll pay tribute to the heroes among us, men and women who have given so much to our country. Together, let's remember those who have served for all they've done and for all they continue to inspire.
Brought to you by VFW Post 1110 in Frankfort.
As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been helping people live longer and more independent lives.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. Learn more at MDA.org.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it, right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and HoosierLandTV.com archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representatives. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, quarter number two. If you missed it, quarter number one, we had Thomas Lynch from Rossville Wrestling. In quarter number two, we've got Don Helmlich. We want to thank our sponsor, Winsky Brothers, for sponsoring Inside the Huddle. But we've got head coach Don Helmlich from the Clinton Central girls basketball team. Coach, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. How are you?
I am doing well. Well, Coach, last year you had a outstanding season, taking the team all the way to semi-state before falling to Marquette Catholic, finished with a record of 25-2. Talk to us a little bit about last season and what kind of experience that was for your team.
I mean, not only for the team, for the coaches. I mean, in my years of coaching, we've had some good teams. We won some sectionals, but I've never been part of a run like that. And you know, there's not too many days in a week that go by where, you know, I second guess something or wish that illegal screen with 8 seconds would have been called. You know, I mean, there's days where it just punches me straight in the gut. You know, it's been a memorable moment, in good and bad ways, but, you know, it was a special time. You know, the school was going through, some tragedies and I felt like the girls came through and helped with the things going on in the school and, you know, just came together and just the way we, you know, just the way we played and beat teams last year is kind of put a mark on our back for this year. But, you know, we had four seniors and you know, it was a great group. We got a lot of kids some playing time that hopefully by, you know, midseason this year will pay off. To where they, you know, won't be just first year varsity players, even though they didn't start, and A lot of them didn't get quality minutes, if you will, but they still got some minutes at the faster pace. So we're working on that right now with the girls right now. Just getting them to understand that the pace is different than what they're used to, whether it's junior high, whether it's JV, and you know, right now we're going through some growing pains with that.
Before last season started, what was kind of your expectation for the year? Was getting down to semi-state one of the goals? Was winning sectional one of the goals? Did you see the kind of run from your team? Did you see that happening before the year started?
No, we thought that we would be good. You know, looking at it, I was just, you know, you go through the schedule at the beginning of the year, and you know, we felt that, you know, 15 wins and a chance at the sectional was something that was in our possibilities, and then depending on, you know, how the draw went, based on the rest of the tournament, we didn't know, but to say we had envisions of what transpired, there was no thought process to that at all.
Yeah, well, talk about some of the seniors. You mentioned you had four seniors, and they were really an integral part of that run. Talk about those four seniors and how the underclassmen will have to kind of step up this year and what they'll have to replace.
Well, we talked about that as coaches and even players last night. You know, we had a game the other night, and I mean, we won, but it was against Frontier, and right now they're going through some transitions. They graduated a lot of players over the last 2 years, and they're in their third coach in 3 years. So, you know, they're not what they're probably going to be, but right now they struggled. And offensively, we told the girls, you know, Courtney Serber last year, senior, you know, she usually only averaged 4 to 6 points a game. She had that possibility of having a game here or there of 12 to 15, but you know, Courtney was a defender and a rebounder. We didn't expect her to score a lot. Landry Whiteman, that was her first year to play since her freshman year. And honestly, I think she probably only scored 2 or 3 points a game, but she would come up with the key basket when we needed it. She had some huge baskets in the Fountain Central game in the sectional last year. And you could count on her just to know her role and play good defense and get some rebounds when we need it. And, you know, you had Parkinson, who averaged about 16, and then we had Erica Robbins, who averaged, you know, somewhere between 9 and 12. So points-wise, you know, Carly Davison, who's a junior this year, you know, she needs to pick up 3 or 4 more points, which is definitely possible. And then Abby Harris, who, you know, was vital to our run last year, but didn't play through the season. So I think her average was like 2 points a game. But, you know, she's very capable of averaging, you know, 14, 15 points a game. So, you know, all you're asking from the rest of the girls is to average 12 to 15, and then we're going to have a shot at winning a lot of games, and we won't necessarily miss the scoring we had last year. Our problem is right now we're missing the defense. You know, we're just not understanding our roles. We're not understanding post defense, and you know, we were blessed with Sarah Parkinson, who was, you know, she was a 5'10" girl, but a lot of times she played like she was 6 foot. So, you know, she was a better post-defensive player than what she got credit for, and that's what we've got to work on right now. I mean, our scoring will be okay, and, you know, we got Emily Long right now that's out with an ACL, and she gets partially released on Tuesday is what I'm hearing from her and her doctors. And then, you know, maybe we have her back mid-December, maybe we don't, I don't know, but you know, she'll definitely help in the defensive side, and then, you know, she's capable of putting points in the basket. So, you know, we get her back and all these kids take advantage of the time they're getting right now, you know, come late December, early January, you know, we should be, you know, hitting on all cylinders as close to it as we can.
I think one of the things you just said was super important is knowing your role. In a team sport, you're always going to have a couple of players that stick out because they can score the ball, especially in basketball. But having a team where everybody knows their specific role, hey, I really don't need to be a scorer. I need to play defense really well. I need to lock down their number one player, and I need to rebound really well. So talk about the process of getting these underclassmen to really start to understand that and understand their role and teaching that to these players.
I you figure that one out, let me know. You know, I think, you know, you see so much that everything's about scoring. You know, it starts at little youth basketball. I mean, when the kids leave the game, the parents don't come up and say, hey, you had a great defensive stance. It's, hey, you had 8 points, or you had this, or you should have scored this. There's so much emphasis on that. I mean, you can go back in time, and I mean, you know, actually, Josh Davis and I was talking last night about, you know, the Sloan boy, Brian Sloan at IU. I mean, you know, he's one that people remember. He never scored. He just set screens and played defense. Dennis Rodman's a Hall of Fame player, and he couldn't shoot worth a lick, but he's in the Hall of Fame because of his effort and his rebounding. And that was what was unique about the group we had last year. Actually, we had Courtney Serber at practice last night, and Jeremy Robbins, one of the coaches, just asked her. He said, "Hey, did you go into the games expecting or wanting to score, you know, 12 to 16 a game?" And you know, she flat out said, "No. I knew I was supposed to rebound and play defense, and if I got the opportunity to score, I took advantage of it." But that was not her mindset, and that's what we're trying to get instilled. And you know, it's tough because you know no one gets credit when they play good defense, unless it's by the coach in a newspaper. And at single A basketball, there's not too many times newspapers come to our games.
You mentioned the parents. In your experience, what role do the parents play in the success, not only of your players, but also as then the team?
Last year or in general?
In general.
Because last year, a big reason of our success was we knew if we won that tournament the weekend before, we were going to go to the Davison's house. We were going to have a great dinner, and there was going to be some Wendy Coker strawberry pies. And usually the pies went before the food because the pies are so good. But, I mean, you know, it's just like we talked last night. We had a parent meeting, and you know, so many times you look in the stands, and it's everywhere. I mean, I've been at four schools as a head coach and a fifth as an assistant, and you see it everywhere. And it's, you know, you have parents that, they don't sit together for whatever reason. They get there late. They don't want to, you know, be in the group. So the cheering isn't as good as it could be. A lot of times, and I'm not saying this is a problem here, but a lot of times parents only focus on their kid or they will definitely say what the problems are that other kids make. But I think, you know, we're in a pretty good situation, and I think it's why we were successful last year. You know, we didn't have any, I didn't have any parent meetings. I didn't have anyone upset about anything. And you know, we really only played six or seven kids at the varsity level consistently, and we had 15 in the program. So the parents understood, the kids understood, and I think that's what it takes. I mean, you know, you expect the kids to buy in, but in the end, you know, a coach is only with that player, you know, 2 or 3 hours a day. Now we're with them every day, but the parents and families have the rest of the time. And if, you know, parents are saying, well, this, or, you know, the coach should have done this, then, you know, that creates issues. And right now we've got a situation where we not only have the kids buying in, but we have the parents buying in.
Yeah, well, before we wrap up, you mentioned earlier, yeah, you had your first game of the season already, and it was a win against Frontier, 56-37. How nice was it to kind of get off on the right foot? Obviously, some things to still work on, but shake the rust off. You can't really simulate game speed. You can scrimmage as much as you want in practice, but actually putting on the jersey and going out and playing in front of the fans and being able to get off on the right foot with a win early in the season, how did that feel, and kind of more thoughts from that game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was good to see Abby Harris show what she's capable of. She had six threes that night. Records at Clinton Central are not well kept, so we're trying to just figure out if there was any records broken with those six threes. But you know, she had 26, a career high. Carly stepped up and had 21, and really just didn't force anything. Just had a Carly Davison game, and you know, we had Dellinger and stuff got some varsity experience as a starter, and you know, it was a good game for us to get started with. We've been practicing for 3 weeks. You know, we had an FFA convention, so we lost some kids for practice there, and you know, it's just been real tough getting everybody together with the start of the season, and we had some sicknesses. But, you know, I think we're finally in a spot where we got everybody and all the other stuff is over. So just to get on the floor and play a game, you know, we had the scrimmage last week, and, you know, we learned a lot about that. That was, you know, against Brebeuf, who definitely is a very good 3A, bigger school basketball, and you know, we learned a lot from that. You know, so we're a work in progress with the, you know, we go into each season. We talked about the other day, you know, we want our last conference game of the year. It just got moved, but originally it was Sheridan, and we want that game to mean something from the standpoint that, you know, we still have a chance to maybe tie for conference or win conference. And the goal, and it's the same goal we had last year, is we want to be in the championship game of the sectional. That's it. We want a 500 season, and, you know, that's what, basically, for the 24 years I've been coaching, is what our goals are going in. You know, you can't win a sectional if you're not in the championship. So, you know, that's where our goals are, and that's what we're focused on. And last year we knew we had a shot at being pretty good, but, you know, our nemesis prior to last year was Faith Christian, and the one thing we did not do was focused the whole season on Faith Christian. We went one game at a time, and we didn't talk about Faith. We didn't talk about the sectional until, you know, we got into late January. So, you know, we're going to take the same approach, and hopefully by then we will, you know, have Emily Long back and have the rest of the girls with enough experience to make another run, or at least be in a position to make a run.
Well, this has been head coach Don Helmlich with the Clinton Central girls basketball team. Coach, we appreciate you calling in. Thank you.
Hey, where's Big Don at?
He'll be in and out. Him and Kyle and Etherington and I, Sam Wirt, will be kind of moving around throughout inside the huddle. We're all kind of rotating in.
He's getting lazy in his old age.
Be sure to tell him that.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys, and have a good day.
Thanks, you too. Good
Thank
luck this
you.
Season.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back with quarter number three on Inside the Huddle, brought to you
by Winsky Brothers.